How many of you have ever moved? Everybody's moved. You know, nowadays when you move, it's so easy to like go on Google and stalk the place you're about to move. You can check out all the streets, find your way. You can check out all the local restaurants on Yelp and figure out which ones are the good ones and which ones you're going to check out. You can even begin to like connect with friends that may be in those places where you move to via Facebook. Technology really makes moving a lot easier. I remember when Tara and I moved to Richmond about almost 3 years ago, I emailed Henrico County and asked for a guide for new residents. And I'll never forget getting that and opening it up. To my horror, it was a notebook like this. And I opened it up, and on one side was information about the N1H1 flu virus that was spreading around. On the other side was the terror of suburbia, also known as the tiger mosquito. And here I was trying to convince my wife that we should move from bug-free L.A. to Richmond. And I said, well, let's not show her that one first. Let's look at some other important, exciting, interesting things about Henrico County and Richmond that we can look forward to moving towards. Nowadays, whenever we move or whenever we travel anywhere, you know, we can ask Siri for directions. We get our map long before we get there. We know exactly what we're getting into when we go. We know what the weather's going to be like. We know if there's going to be traffic. We know approximately exactly how many minutes we're going to be there. If we're running late, we can call our friend and be like, hey, I'm going to be 3.25 minutes late because that's what my GPS or my phone is telling me we're going to be there. Well, last week, we started our summer series on a man named Abraham. And I would guess that most every of you here recognize at least the name of Abraham as some important figure in world religions. Some of you might wonder what Abraham did to become known as the founder and the father of the three great Abrahamic faiths, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. We're going to discover this whole series that Abraham's life, he really actually doesn't really do anything all that remarkable. We're going to discover, in fact, that the journey Abraham goes on is really all about what God does to and through Abraham. All Abraham really did in this process was have faith. And even then, it's a little sketchy. There's a little bit of a journey. There's some winding. There's some negotiation. There's struggle. There's tension. It's not exactly the straightforward walk most of us might think of a biblical character like Abraham. So this morning, we're going to really launch into the journey. Last week, Nelson kind of gave us an overview. Who was Abraham? A little background. Where are we sort of in the Bible? Well, this morning, we're going to officially launch and take our first step on the journey of Abraham and the journey of faith that Abraham takes. And I think this moment that we're going to read about is probably one of the top three most important moments in the Bible. Top three most important. So if you're here today and you wonder what's faith all about, you're going to get one of the top three most important moments in the Bible. And I would say the other two are the creation of the world, the beginning of the Bible, and the death and resurrection of Jesus, sort of the end of the story. So this is kind of the middle one, the call and the going of Abraham. So we're going to roll in why this is so important. So I encourage you to open up your Bibles, pull it up on your phones, however you want to do, Genesis 12. You can also follow along in our worship guide right here. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. And we're going to read about a man named Abram, and Abraham's going to have his name changed to Abraham later. Right now he's Abram, but same guy. It says this, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse.'" Who knew that God cursed people? "And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Lot was his nephew. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. They had instant transportation back there. In one verse, they get there. Just kidding. Verse 6, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he, Abraham, built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. This is God's word for his people. This morning we're going to focus on the first few verses, and we're going to look at three important questions. First, why was it important that Abraham was to go? Why was that important? Second, why was it important that Abraham would be a blessing? What's all this blessing have to do with anyways? And third, what was Abraham going to do by being a blessing? What was what was he going to do? So three important questions. Why was it important that Abraham was to go? Some of you might have asked, why couldn't have God just blessed Abraham right then and there? I'm glad you asked that question. Why leave? The area in the world in which Abraham was living and his family were living was truly the most spectacular place in the ancient world. Ancient Mesopotamia was the cradle of civilization. Great nations were born, great leaders, great religions, many great things, culture, art, music was born in this place of Mesopotamia. Imagine yourself living in the greatest city you can imagine. And imagine living in the most spectacular palace or place there. And you walk out on the balcony of your penthouse overlooking the city, and God says to you, I am going to bless you and make you a great nation. And you look out over the place you live, and you see all the wealth and the culture and the magnificence, and you say, oh yeah, this is going to be good. But you see, if Abraham had stayed, and God had made him stay in his country, Abraham could have very easily taken credit for all the things they had done. He could have easily taken credit for all the magnificent creations and achievements of Mesopotamia, of Babylon, of Ur. That's not the way God rolls in the story. And I said one of the big things we're going to learn in the life of Abraham is that it's really not anything that Abraham does, but it's that what God does through the story. And all Abraham does is he's deemed faithful at the end of the day. But we're going to see how God does all the heavy lifting throughout the story. God doesn't want to give Abraham a chance to think that he made it on his own. There was to be no confusion about what was going to happen. This was a work of God, not of Abraham. Now, by contrast, we're in Genesis chapter 12. The chapter beforehand, we have this great picture of the Tower of Babylon. This was the pinnacle of human achievement at that point. You see, the people of Babylon thought they could make their name great. They thought they could do all these incredible things. They thought they could use technology. They're building bricks for the first time. They're using tar as mortar. They thought, we could do great things as a nation. They thought they could solve all of the problems of their world. But God has a different plan. And God requires Abraham to leave. Which in my mind is a pretty hard ask. Abraham had to leave behind all of his security, all his comfort, all that he knew, all the strength, all the ways he could have made a name for himself, all the ways he could have taken credit for anything. And he was going to have to leave all of that. Everything that made Abraham, Abraham, was done for. Abraham was going to become a nobody. And not only did Abraham have to get up and leave, the place he was going was not exactly the lap of luxury. There was no promised land board of tourism trying to get everyone to come down to Canaan to live there. It wasn't quite the end of the earth, but you could throw a rock at it from there. Next week, we're going to read that when Abraham gets there, there was a famine in that land. It was not the best place. So why even go? Abraham was leaving the spiritual pluralism of Mesopotamia with all its religious traditions and history and all the stuff that made Babylon and Ur this great place. And God was going to do something completely different with Abraham. And Abraham was going to experience something completely different. You might say that God was taking Abraham out and setting him apart. God was taking Abraham from all the spiritual and material mess that was Mesopotamia, and setting Abraham apart. Now, if you've hung around church for a while, you might know that this is a theme in the Bible. God himself is set apart from us because he is holy. The first promise that God will make is that Abraham will become a great nation. And this nation will be set apart and holy. It will belong to God. Now, later on, you can skim down to verse 7. God makes a promise to Abraham when he gets to this new land, and he says, you're going to have this land. And later on in the story of Israel and the sons of Abraham, the history of the sons of Abraham, God is reminding him why he promised this land. And God says this, but I said to you, you will possess their land. I will give it to you as an inheritance, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has set you apart from the nations. Leviticus 20:24. If you skip down just two verses, it says this, you are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. So even in his leaving, Abraham really isn't even doing anything. It's God who is setting Abraham apart from the world he lives in to start something completely new and different. It wasn't just the sort of evolution of the spiritual world that he lived in. It was going to be something radically new and different. God is setting Abraham apart from the nations to be something different, to be blessed. And because Abraham is set apart, all of the peoples of the earth will be blessed. So question number two, what does exactly mean that God would bless Abraham? Why is that important? And how is Abraham going to bless all these people? First, let's talk about what a blessing isn't. I think there's some confusion about this in our world today. Blessing is not an increase in material things. Blessing is not when things go your way or when the way is easy. Blessing is not good luck. It's not a good mojo or good fortune or good karma. Blessing is not even about being a good person. So what does the Bible say about blessing? In one of the most famous speeches, Jesus said this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And he goes on to list about 10 or 12 different these blessings, those who will be blessed. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not exactly the best recruitment speech on Jesus' part. I don't know that I want to be a part of that blessing, if you ask me. Blessing isn't all these things that we think they are. It's something different. It's a transformation of spiritual realities. Blessing is a transformation of spiritual reality. It has to do with our spiritual state of being. You see, prior to Abraham, the world was in a broken spiritual place. Adam and Eve had sinned. They were banished from the garden. Our spiritual relationship with God was cut off. It was broken. It was not the way God intended it to be. We filled the earth with rebellion. God flooded it. God destroyed it. We wanted to become more like God, so we built this great tower in Babylon. You see, this wasn't the plan that God intended for us. Apart from being blessed, we, friends, are in sin, a broken spiritual reality. This is not what God wants for us. But to be blessed is to be set apart, to be made holy, and to have that relationship restored. To be blessed is to have the sin removed from our lives and to have our spiritual realities repaired the way God had intended them to be. Now, in the church, the fulfillment of this blessing is found in Christ. And if we go back just a few weeks to the start of our Ephesians story from a few months ago, actually, we read this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in all the, where, heavenly realms, spiritual places, with what? Every spiritual blessing in Christ. The blessing is fulfilled in Christ. Now, Paul, the author of this letter to the church in Ephesus, goes on to clarify this blessing and relates it to the promise of the blessing given to Abraham. So says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Remember we read inheritance a few passages ago back in Leviticus. An inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, becoming God's own. Even here, the inheritance of the promise that Abraham would be a blessing to the peoples of the earth is fulfilled in Christ for us. Here is Abraham blessed to be a blessing, and the fulfillment of that blessing comes in Christ. We receive that fulfillment in Jesus. The gospel is the fulfillment of the blessing. And that is because of what Jesus accomplished. Not anything that we've done, but what Jesus has done. Because of what Christ accomplished on the cross, we are heirs to the inheritance of the blessing first promised to Abraham. Now here's the key to all this. Relationship. Prior to God speaking, we assume that Abraham had no relationship with God. But now through this journey, God is going to build a relationship with Abraham. In fact, the journey itself, Abraham's journey of faith, is a picture of a relentless pursuit by God for Abraham. And it's through this relationship that Abraham will be blessed. The blessing begins and originates from God and is transferred by this relationship with God. Now, the blessing is not for Abraham alone. It's for all these people. And I think of it like this. When you drive down the roads here in Richmond, you see power lines. I'm reminded of that because power often goes out my house whenever there's a storm. Power lines themselves, though, have no intrinsic electrical value, right? If you, like, cut it off, it was just a piece of copper wire. They do not generate the electricity. They are merely conduits. Abraham is not going to be the generator of the blessing. We are not the generator of the blessing. Abraham and we are merely the conduits of God's blessing to the world. It's an important distinction. All right, last question for us this morning. Here's the bottom line. In this journey Abraham is about to embark on, Abraham doesn't really do anything remarkable. We're going to see that he certainly doesn't really do anything that would earn God's favor. Maybe people kind of come to approach a religion thinking they need to earn God's favor. It's really a lot messier than that. Abraham's journey is really about what God is going to be doing. God's faithfulness to Abraham. Take a look at verses 2 and 3. Count the number of things that God says he is going to do. I see some people counting. How many do you count there? 7, maybe, close. I counted 5, we might have 6. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And the last one, questionable, all people on earth will be blessed through you. It doesn't say all the people of the earth will be blessed by you, being by Abraham, but through Abraham. All that Abraham does is have faith. And by that, he's a blessing to the world. He has no control over being a blessing. He has no control over what God is going to do. Now, in our lives, we tend to make things happen on our own. We like to have control of our world. We want to make our own name great. We want to curse people, especially when they cut us off in the middle of the road. None of that is our job. All of that is God's job. We are just called be a blessing. Now, let me finish up by asking this question. How does all of this that happened 4,000 years ago have anything to do with us today here in 2013? Abraham, although he doesn't do anything remarkable, is a model of faith, obedience, and dependence on God. Now, we are called to have those same things, to have faith, to be obedient, and to depend on God. We may not be called to go precisely, but we are called to follow Jesus. When Jesus was first recruiting his disciples, he said to them, "Follow me." For many of the disciples, this was as good as go. They dropped their nets. They left their fathers. They left their homes, their families, their fishing businesses. They left collecting taxes, making good money. They left all these things to follow Jesus. And we, as his followers, are called to lay down our lives for the world, to leave our fathers, our homes, the security and comforts of our culture, so that the world would receive God's blessing, a relationship with God. Friends, following Jesus is a journey of faith. It's a journey that Abraham took, and in the end, God accredited to him righteousness, right standing, right relationship with God. I don't know about you, but maybe you're disappointed with life. Things haven't worked out for you, and that's probably all of us. Well, friends, God is inviting you to embark on a journey of faith with him. I think for Abraham, life wasn't working out the way he'd hoped it would. There must have been something hopeful about the idea of leaving the mess he found himself in and doing something completely different and following God. At the very least, Sarah was barren. She wasn't able to bear children. Life wasn't working out for him. Now, if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm guessing you're looking for something like the blessing that Abraham received from God. You're looking for something spiritual. You want to get something more out of life. Well, good news, you're in a good place because we here at Pump Road are very much so on this journey of faith together. And if you hang around this community for a little bit, you'll begin to experience the blessings of God through these very people. At the foundation of Christian spirituality is a relationship with God, is a relationship made possible with Jesus. And we here at Pump Road, we're into relationships. We've been experiencing all these blessings as we do life together. We have the fullest experience of blessing when the promise is completed in and through us. We are blessed as we bless others. Now, if you are already a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you today, because maybe you're not sure how you're going to be a blessing to the world. You're a little uncertain about going. That's okay. I'm sure Abraham thought the same thing. He was wondering, how am I going to become a great nation when my wife can't bear children? The point is not about what you're going to have to do. The point is what God is going to do through you. It takes a lot of the pressure off. So I want to encourage you. All right. Let me wrap up by summarizing. God commands Abraham to leave, and by doing so, Abraham is set apart to bless the world and restart our relationship with God. So Abraham leaves, goes to a foreign land. Along the way, we read, he's just going to these different places at the end of this passage, and he's building these altars. And I think of it like, you know, adding milestones to your Facebook page. He's just memorializing the relationship he has with God along the way. He doesn't go and make a great name for himself. He goes to make a name for God. He says, God has done this. In our own journey of faith, we'll look back. And we won't see all that we accomplished or did, or how we did something wonderful, but we will see God's faithfulness to us. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this promise in Abraham to be a blessing to the nations. And Lord, thank you that that promise was fulfilled in Christ, that we've been restored in right relationship to you, and that we're called now to go and share this with others. Be a blessing to the world around us. And Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, we would think about the spheres of influence where we are and think about how we can be a blessing to the world around us. We could think about how we are to proclaim the gospel, the good news that Jesus has restored us in our relationship with you. But Father, we just acknowledge that we're all on a journey here. We're not going to get it all right. We're going to veer off the course many times. And Father, we just thank you that this is about what you're going to be doing, not about what we do. So, Father, we thank you already for the faithfulness in our own lives. Many of us might look back and think about all the ways you have been faithful to us along the journey. So, Father, we just journey on in faithfulness to you, in obedience to you, knowing that you will be faithful to us. We thank you for that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.